News Talk 1450 KFIZ. Happy Friday to one and all. We kick off hour number two of Fond du Lac Today here this morning. Of course, hour number two on Fridays devoted to our Behind the Badge conversations, starting, of course, with the City of Fond du Lac Police Department and our good buddy Steve Olson. Officer Steve Olson is joining us once again here on the show for a Friday. Steve, happy Friday. How are you?
Happy Friday, Spencer. I'm wonderful. I like that good buddy, by the way. That was nice.
I toss that in a lot with our regulars here on the show, and we haven't seen each other in person in 8 to 12 months, Steve. But I think you're a friend of the show, and we're proud to be partners with the police department to help the police department get some messages out to the public throughout the year. So I consider it a good buddy partnership for sure.
It's great to be a friend of the show, I'll tell you that.
Better than enemy of the show, because I don't think there are any, but if there were, it's probably not a good list to be on.
That's right. So let's just jump right into it. Last week we started a series, of course, on personal safety tips, and this week we're just going to continue kind of where we left off, but quick recap. We talked last week briefly about maybe thinking about buying 2 air horns, mm-hmm. and get that to help keep your neighbors safe. We talked about the importance of shredding all of your mail, your junk mail, of course. We talked about turning off your geolocating systems on your social media apps. We talked about ways to spot a liar or someone that's trying to deceive you. And then, of course, we ended last week with learning to think like a burglar. Mm-hmm. So picking up from there, the next tip I wanted to talk about is the importance of, if you live in a 2-story home or maybe an apartment, the importance of not forgetting about those windows and doors on the second floor. There's actually a term known as second story men. I don't know if you ever heard that or not, but it basically means there's a group of burglars, or just burglars in general, that would rather break into a home on a second floor than on the first floor. And their reasoning is they know that most people will tend, if they're going to leave a window open, it'll be a second story window or a door. So food for thought, make sure when we're locking up windows in our house, we do all of them to eliminate that opportunity. And then, you know, what goes along with that too, and I see this way too often, is people will leave ladders mm-hmm. lying next to their home or alongside their garage. Mm-hmm. If you can at all put those ladders away, Right. Do it, or at least find a way to secure them, you know, lock them to something, because all you're doing is giving a thief easy access to, a different portion of your home. So, be mindful of that.
It's interesting you bring that up, Steve, and I live in a second floor apartment, so I'm glad you brought that up, because in the past I've caught myself, and I will say we're guilty. We live on the second floor. We always kind of have that attitude of like, well, they're really going to climb up to our second floor, patio and come in through the sliding screen door. Are they really going to go through all that trouble? But that's an important thing you bring up. And message for me, message for anybody who has that second story on their house, or maybe they live in a second story apartment, upstairs apartment. It's, that people can find ways to get in if they really want to get in, right?
Absolutely. And without you knowing, Spencer, the next personal tip, which to all the listeners, you have no idea what I'm about to talk about. However, you just gave the best segue I could have even hoped for when you mentioned a burglar coming through your sliding door, because the next tip is to invest in a security bar for that sliding patio door. Security bars, what they do, it'll just sit in the track, and it'll prevent a burglar from gaining access through a patio door, which are very, very easy to get into. So you can, if you want to go to the extent of buying a bar, there you can get them, I think, for like $20. You get these nice metal ones. You can go ahead and do that, or you can go the Steve Olson way, the cheaper way, and the next time you wear out a broom, just cut the handle down and put that wood bar in the down in the track, and it served the same purpose. Certainly would do the same thing a metal one would do too. So there you go. Make sure. Do you have? I'm curious. Do you guys have a security bar in your patio door?
We do not, but I think I will chat with my significant other about that now. So I am learning things on Behind the Badge. Just because I'm the radio guy doesn't make me the expert. Clearly.
Now don't blame it on her.
I will not.
Just, you know, say, hey, a good buddy of mine mentioned we might want this here. So
yes.
There you go.
Yes.
All right. Another very easy way to get into someone's home, and oftentimes it's not thought of because they appear to be quite secure, and that is your overhead garage door. Overhead garage doors, unless every night when you lower your garage door, that you physically walk over to it and slide the locks into the locked position, which I can't recall if I've met anyone that does that every night. You assume because that door is on a chain and, you know, there's an automatic opener that, and it's super heavy, that thing is really hard to get into. It's not. They're actually very easy to lift up for criminals that want to. So the best way to go about that is making sure, I mean, if you want to, again, walk over there and slide the lock mechanism, go ahead, but just remember to open it before you hit your opener. The best advice I can give you, though, for defeating that is making sure you always lock the door between your home and the garage. Mm-hmm. And we have talked about that one over and over and over again, especially, you know, from time to time we'll see neighborhoods that kind of get, you know, people going through. And generally when they enter a home, it's through the inside door. So make sure every night that baby is locked up. Next, kind of on the same lines of that garage door, is the code. Change your garage code at random times, right?
Okay.
Rather than just, you know, once every quarter, you know, just, I know it's kind of a pain to do, but I know people that have had the exact same garage code for multiple years. Mm-hmm. The problem with that is, well, first and foremost, every garage door opener, when they're installed, if you have the keypad on the outside of your home, they'll come with a default number. Mm-hmm. And it was interesting when I was used to be in crime prevention, and I would go to do residential site security surveys. I would always try the default number for the whichever particular model was on a house. Mm-hmm. And not every time, but at least once or twice a year, I would get a garage door to open because the residents never changed the code. And in most cases, they said they never knew they were supposed to. Mm-hmm. So come up with a code, change it. You know, from time to time, you have a trusted neighbor and you might share that with them to watch your house maybe on vacation. Well, it's a good idea to change that code, you know, down the road so that your code doesn't get out to people, because that is just a, you know, super easy thing to do. Mm-hmm. You know, one of those things that everyone can do. So change your garage code at random times.
Right.
Then the next one, Spencer, do you have a pool?
I do not have a pool.
Oh, well, if you ever do someday, we're talking like, you know, in-ground pools mostly. Mm-hmm. This would apply to, I suppose, for the above ground, but mainly for in-ground pools or just pools in general. Do you know that studies have shown that roughly 150 kids under the age of 15 years old every single year drown in pools?
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
And so what we recommend there is if you have a pool, make sure it's fenced and locked whenever you're not home. You know, that's really I'm trying to think of the friends when I was a kid growing up that had in-ground pools. I didn't have many, but a couple did, and every one of them had a fence.
Right.
And, you know, if there wasn't a lock on it, there was, you know, like a padlock, there was definitely a locking mechanism. Another thing that you can consider, if your funds allow, is investing in a pool alarm. Mm-hmm. That will trigger a siren if someone were to fall in. So just keep close eye on those pools. And last for today is it's kind of become popular in the last few years, I think. But and again, it's not always the nicest thing to think about, but it's what we call creating a strong room or a safe room in your house. It could be a closet. It could be, you know, a spot under the stairs, someplace that you allow for an interior room to be locked. And in the event that something dangerous has happened in your home and you can't get out, you know, some, i.e. someone has entered your house, you can get to your safe room. It'll buy you time. Hopefully you have a phone with you so that you can, you know, call the authorities. I think everybody would be surprised to know the difference that, you know, even if it buys you a minute or two, what those seconds can mean in, you know, the response for law enforcement. So, you know, give that a thought. We have a room in our house that's not, I guess, we won't call it the safe room, but it's our tornado shelter. We were fortunate enough when they when we had our house built, there was a little snafu when they poured the foundation, and we were able to turn the snafu into a concrete-lined room where, you know, in the event of bad weather, we can go down there. And I can tell you just from that, with having young kids, the level of comfort it gives them knowing that they are in a safe place is huge. So same thing goes for making a safe room or a strong room.
Yeah, that's one of those things that we talk about, whether it's with folks like you at the police department or with emergency management, or, you know, the preparedness, the people who promote preparedness. That's just the word I said right there, preparedness. You don't want to have to worry about, oh, shoot, do I have a room like this, or do I have somewhere safe to go when it's happening to you? And a lot of people say, well, what are the chances of, you know, a home invasion happening to me in this town at this, you know, time or whatever? But I believe just down you know, the road from us in Washington County, there was recently a gentleman who had a couple home invasions, and some people ended up, you know, being shot and killed tragically in that situation. So you don't want to be thinking about that as it's happening. It's something, you know, you don't want to prepare for it, but it's good to prepare for it at the same time, right?
Absolutely.
Steve, anything else you wanted to highlight this week?
No, that'll do it. I look forward to continuing this next week. I just got a few more. We'll get finished up, and hopefully we're giving, we're making people think and preparing themselves for keep themselves safe.
Very good, Steve. Have a great weekend.
Yep. See you, Spence.